faith that acts and obeys and practices and meditates and studies and lets God reveal that word to them on what to do. See, you let that word, Jesus said, let this word abide in you. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You're supposed to have the word on the inside. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free. Why? Because the revelation that you receive. Amen. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. You got to answer prayer. You get the desires of your heart just by obeying God, just by letting his word abide in you. That means doing things God's way. If God tell you to do something or stop doing something, right? We read some scriptures say stop sinning. And some people just go on and they go right out of here and go sin. They just heroes. Now, you done heard tonight how to develop your faith. What you going to do with it? You know what strong faith is. Now, what you going to do with this word you heard tonight? Are you going to go home and start practicing giving glory to God and taking a promise that God is, say, an area where you have need, and you stack some promises up and say, now, this is the will of God, and this is what we're going to have, and then you start thanking God for that, even though it looked like everything is opposite?
Amen.
Everything happening crazy? I mean, you know, we got things going, that good, crazy stuff happening. You got to start putting the word, interjecting the word in it, and interjecting your faith in it if you want to change. If you keep just reporting the weather, then all you're going to get is what the weather give you. Faith changed the weather. Amen? Glory to God. But you know, God is really interested in you. He's concerned about you. And he wants your faith to be strong because so much he wants to do in your life that you got to increase your faith in God so you can have God's best, so you can see further than you've ever seen, so you can believe like you've never believed before, so you can have things that you've only dreamed about that's in God's will for your life. He wants your faith to be strong, but you got to be a doer of the word. When you hear something in the word, then you got to do it. You got to be a doer. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what?
By every word.
By every word. See, to my living by the word, that means acting on it. That means obeying it. That means practicing it. You have to practice casting your cares, or they'll come on you and just weigh you out. Right? Just because you're casting them today don't mean you're going to cast them on Wednesday. So you had to keep on applying. You had to keep on walking in it. If you got a situation that's got you concerned and worried, you got to say, I refuse to worry about this and give this care to God. And every time the devil reminds you, say, I ain't got it, God got it. I ain't going to worry about it. I ain't going to lose no sleep. I got peace and joy, and that's the way it's going to be. God's taking care of that. Father, if you need me to do anything, by the way, I'll do it. If you need me to do anything that will help this situation, just let me know and I'll do it. But other than that, it's in your hands. I trust you. And I refuse to worry about anything. I'm going to be happy and joyful, and I'm going to have peace. And that's the way I'm going to learn to live. Amen?
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Man, a great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've...
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Very familiar verse of scripture found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verses 6. And it simply says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name he shall be called Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. My brothers and sisters, this word is so familiar. Certainly, I pray that God would give revelation and insight to the deeper truth. Every year at Christmas time, this is one of the scriptures that's highlighted to give us a clear reminder of the marvelous events surrounding the life of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is a prophetic word that opens up and gives way to understanding that God, from the beginning of time, had this thing fixed. It helps us to know that what was to come and still yet is to come was no accident. Did not happen from a Big Bang theory. Did not come from evolution, but God himself said what would be, it was, and it will be. And so when Isaiah speaks of this word, there are so many things about it that are important to understand. He starts off saying, first of all, in this dual role of Jesus, picture of Jesus, he says, "For unto us a child is born." And then he goes on to say, "Unto us a son is given." Now, there are two different and distinct views of Jesus Christ that we have in the opening of this verse. But when it starts off, "For unto us a child is born," when you listen at this and look at this without prior knowledge, without deeper understanding, you say, "So what? A child is born. Children are born every day. Be it black, white, yellow, brown, it doesn't matter the color. Children are born every day. What's the big deal about 'for unto us a child is born'?" Well, this child was the Messiah, unlike any other child. This child was born with a mother, but without an earthly daddy, unlike any other child. This child was prophesied, programmed and planned life as God would have him to live, not like any other child. This child was born in a rescue effort of mankind, unlike any other child. For unto us, listen, it's talking to the Jews about a Jew. For unto, we didn't fit in this part. For unto us, unless you are a Jew. God was saying, I'm going to send the Messiah to you. I'm going to send you the Savior of the world. I'm going to give you what I promised you. The promise that all of those who lived and died in faith did not receive. This is the one I'm talking about. This child. And so when we understand it from that vantage point, he's talking to the Jews right now, not talking to the Gentiles, talking about God's people, his selected people, the people of promise. He's saying, for unto us a child is born. But thank God it doesn't stop there. Because if you will note, even in Matthew 1:21, the word talks about, and she shall bring forth a son. And ye, talking to Joseph, shall call his name Jesus. And he, Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. All right. So all of this was promised to the Jews. No mistake about it. But if you keep on reading the Holy Book, you'll discover that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But that was no surprise to God. So he told Isaiah thousands of years earlier, write this also. Unto us a son is given. But what do you mean by that? Well, go on with me to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now he extends his love beyond his own people. He extends his love to whosoever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the son who belongs to us. God saw the Jews, and he saw us, and he made provision for both of us. Somebody ought to say, thank God. Listen at this now. The record is, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. If God, who gave this world the best that it had, going back to the beginning of creation, he made man perfectly. A perfect moral agent. A man without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. One who could, in his naked form, before a holy God, praise and worship him without shame. It wasn't until after he sinned and messed up the relationship and gave up the benefits that was for sinless people, holy people, and realized that life had now taken on a change. Thank God again that he had already made provisions for Adam or for mankind are for us. And thank God for that, because when we recognize and look at this situation, you'll see God has made provisions for us today every one of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and are truly, truly believers are holy before God, not because of their deeds or acts, but because of the position that Jesus Christ places them in. You see, one of the things that you've got to realize is just like Jesus made provisions in giving his life for us, God made provisions to save his people from their sins. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus is now the Savior of whosoever will, to make us right and righteous before God. Not to say we have a license to sin, but the truth of the matter is, because we were saved from the power of sin, and because we were saved from the penalty of sin, he knew we would still have problem with the presence of sin. And every now and then, I don't care how holy you are, you have some issue with sin. You might be going along mighty good for years, for months, for weeks, for days, for hours, for minutes, and some of you on a second by second basis. But every now and then, sin grips you and throws you down, and you got to shake yourself and say, wait a minute, sin, take your hands off me. I don't belong to you, Satan. I belong to God. I used to be able to be moved by what you told me to do, what you showed me and what you enticed me with. But that's not the reality anymore. I belong to God. And he don't even want me to be around evil. Abstain from the appearance. Yeah, if you're nasty and low down, I need to turn away from you anyhow. Because bad company corrupt good manners. All I got to do is stay around the nasty and low down long enough, and some of the nasty low down habits start. That's why I got to be careful who my company is. That's why I've got to let, you know, a God who knows better guide me, because if I let my senses guide me, they're geared to deal with my self nature, not my holy nature. And so when we understand this word and look at this word and understand that the government, the rule, the reign, the righteousness will be upon his shoulder. In other words, it's going to be left up to him to change things. Because we try, but we can't do it. And even if we do it, we can't keep it done. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, there's a fivefold name that follows, and some say four, because they say wonderful and counselor goes together as one name. So that would make it four names instead of five. However, may I submit to you, though he is a wonderful counselor, he is wonderful all by himself. When the word says, and his name shall be wonderful, and he shall be called wonderful. I need you to know that if you look at him for who he is, and you look at what he's already done, not only in scripture, but in your own life, you would be able to declare with me, the Lord is wonderful.
How many of you know he's really wonderful? Now, don't fool me this morning. He is wonderful. I don't care whatever you put behind it. He's wonderful Jesus. He's wonderful Counselor. He's wonderful Provider. He's wonderful Protector. He's wonderful Heart Fixer. He's wonderful Mind Manipulator. He's wonderful Waymaker. He's just wonderful, 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 wonderful. All by himself. Counselor. Yeah, he is a wonderful counselor. He gives to us what is truly the holy counsel of God. Never leads us in the wrong way. Never leads us into destruction. Never leads us into a way that does not please God. He's a counselor who's best suited to counsel us, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. Now, I want to say to you today, my brothers and sisters, if I would take counsel from anybody, it would truly be somebody who knows me better than I know myself. You see, there are some things I said I wasn't going to do. There were some things I said I would never say. There were some places I made up my mind I just wouldn't go. But I discovered that I didn't know myself as well as I thought I knew myself. I've seen folk do some unseemly, ungodly things and call themselves Christians. In church every Sunday, in Sunday school, Bible study, prayer meeting, committed to God, and see them do some things, and I say, oh, not me. They've been with the Lord too long to be acting a fool like that. But then life happened. And I had to say to myself, I be. Not who I thought I was. Don't act like you ain't never said nothing. Now. Some of you gonna cuss somebody out before the sun go down. Cuss them out tomorrow on your job. God's still working on you, still fixing you, still straightening you up. Some of you gonna have to counsel and say, Lord, if you don't help me, Jesus. If they say another word, God, have I got a witness in the house? Let them say one more thing about me, and it's going to be on and pop. And I hear him saying, shh. Everything is going to be all right. I can hear him calming the storms of my life and saying, peace, be still. I can hear him saying, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, he is a wonderful counselor. But how many of you know he's a mighty God? Any witnesses here? How many of you can testify to the fact that there are some things you never would have made it out of had the Lord not delivered you? Mighty God.
The everlasting Father, again, is a future term in the new dispensation where Jesus, who is author and finisher of our faith, would be named the everlasting Father. It's talking about time to come and understanding his role, his pivotal role that has given not only the Jews but the Gentiles, the whosoever wills of life, an opportunity to know him as God for themselves. Then the last name is Prince of Peace. What a wonderful name. Prince of Peace. There is no greater peace than that the Prince of Peace affords. To know him in that way, to know him intimately and personally as the Prince of Peace, means that he truly grants unto us. Record is in the Old Testament that those who keep their mind stayed on God, he will keep them in perfect peace. That's the King of Peace. But in the New Testament, we understand and we look at Jesus Christ and we see the word that he himself has a peace that passeth all understanding, and it is connected with the Prince of Peace. Now listen to this. What does that mean for me? Do you know, my brothers and sisters, one of the very perhaps intense desires of the enemy is to steal your peace as a child of God? Here's why. Because if he steals your peace, it doesn't matter what you have. You can have the best of everything. You can be in good health. You can have money in the bank. You can have a good job, position, etc. You all can be well with your family, but if you do not have peace under your own skin, you'll never be able to enjoy all of those things. That's why the old believers sitting on a porch in a rocking chair who had Jesus underneath the skin had so much peace. They would rock and watch the world go by and say, you can have this whole world. Just give me Jesus. Yeah, the little bit that they had, they'd place it in the master's hand and he'd stretch a dollar so far till he'd make it holler. Yeah, they didn't have much money, but it almost seemed like with the peace they had on the inside of them, even when they were cooking with a little bit of nothing, they could stretch it. Y'all don't know nothing about no long gravies, do you? With short cash, they could make long gravies. They could take a few pieces of bony meat, dropping some onions and dropping some garlic and season it up with their own spices. Make you bite your fingers. Going to some of the finest restaurants and can't duplicate the taste because this came from a soul filled with peace and they were singing to Jesus while they were preparing the. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. When you got that kind of peace, you don't let stuff worry you. You can tell folk when they come to you, when they call you, when they get to you with all of their concerns, baby, take it to the Lord and yeah, leave it right there. And they start telling you, I've got a feeling. Now, I may not be able to tell you
They'll tell you, look, grandma ain't been to school. I don't know all those highfalutin words to tell you, but I can tell you, I once was young. Yeah.